All right, cool. Gonna get into it. This week on It's So Bad, let's go crazy as we add Marvel vs. Capcom Clash of Superheroes to the endless list. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, golf, hello.
Matt.
Hello.
Well, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts from. This week, we are adding Marvel vs. Capcom Clash of Superheroes to the endless list. I believe it's our sixth or seventh fighting game on the endless list.
Sixth or seventh?
Yeah. Crazy,
I don't
right?
believe that.
No, it's actually the... it's the sixth. It's the sixth. So
I
on the list...
Garou.
Yeah. The only good one. No, so we have Shaq Fu. We have Pit Fighter. We have Godzilla Save the Earth. We have Street Fighter Alpha, Garou.
Oh, Street Fighter Alpha. Okay.
And Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat is also on the list.
Okay, yeah. There's a lot more,
I was also
a lot more than I remember there being.
Mortal Kombat is a bad game.
Looking at this list, now that we've done this for, 2 years now, and that was one of our early editions, I do think that that's quite high and that might be rectified.
We've already dropped it down significantly from where it was.
Really?
That was my choice for the re-rank.
I think it should just go
lower. We dropped
lower.
It like 10 stops.
Yeah,
10 spots.
Well, maybe we should do Mortal Kombat 2 next just so we can drop it lower. But we're adding Marvel vs. Capcom, the original Marvel vs. Capcom, to the Endless List this week. Chris or Matt, do you guys want to talk about what the Endless List is?
Chris, I nominate you.
Well, I was kind of hoping we would do a thing where I'd start a sentence and you'd finish my sentence. I thought that'd be really...
Please,
all right, let's try that.
No, not over stream,
okay.
Please. God,
okay.
No.
The Endless List is...
A never-ending, ever-growing list of games where we rank...
The games based on their contemporaries. This is brutal. Sorry.
You're failing this interview right now.
Gameplay,
it's really just
fun factor.
Are they good or not in 2020 or whenever we're recording the podcast? That's really all I care about.
Some of us factor legacy in.
Yeah. Some of us.
Some of us
are wrong.
Some of us like to consider... whether or not we enjoy them today, but also if they were good for their time period. I also like to think about that.
I'm not worried about the old days. I'm worried about today.
I like to look at the music and the graphics and the story, if the games have one. This Marvel vs. Capcom doesn't really have a story.
I'm sure it has a story, but does it matter? I don't think so. Who is the final boss in this game?
Onslaught.
Carnage? What's his name?
No, it's Onslaught.
Onslaught.
Yeah.
I'm sure Matt, Onslaught's up to no good.
Matt, were you ever a comic book guy?
I read some Walking Dead and some Thor.
So you're not really a comic book guy.
No, I'm not a comic book guy. It seemed like it was a lot of money.
Comic books? They were like $1.25 when we were kids.
Yeah, when you make your parents buy them, it doesn't cost you anything. So,
it's true.
I was into comic books when I was buying them myself. Let's just say that.
Yeah. I, too, read graphic novels at one point. But nevertheless, we are adding this game to our endless list. Marvel vs. Capcom's fighting game, in case you didn't know. Why are we adding this game? And who was it, me, who came up with this game? I forget.
I think this is kind of a general discussion. Yeah. Well, yeah. I think, but we had all kind of kicked either this or Marvel versus Capcom 2 around, I feel like, over the past year, trying to think of more fighting games to add and stuff. But I think I brought it up in a recent conversation. But I think we've all kind of pitched it at some time.
I mean, this
is
a big one.
Yeah.
This one matters. This was the first, super popular versus tag fighting game.
Was so this came out obviously before Tekken Tag, because that was a PS2 game.
I guess that's true. Well, yeah, for whatever reason I think of Tekken Tag as a different game, but you're right, it is a tag game.
I mean, that game actually probably came out in the arcades in like 99, 2000. So
no, this game was definitely before. Were they doing the tag mechanic in the games that came earlier in the series? Like, what was right before this? Was it Marvel versus X-Men?
This was the third game in the Versus series that had tags. So the first was X-Men versus Street Fighter. The second was Marvel Superheroes versus Street Fighter.
Yeah.
And this was the third, Marvel versus Capcom Clash of Superheroes.
This one introduced the kind of like the bonus hero mechanic, right? I think it was the other one you could just. Yeah. So this gave you a third hero on your team, but it's not really like a playable hero. It's like a bonus move to call it, basically.
Right, so we should start at the top.
Yeah.
It's a 2v2 fighting game with a third character as an assist. You play one round. When your character dies, they're out. But you can actively switch between them. Anything else I'm missing?
Well, they get the special combos. Or the special team attacks, duo attacks.
Right, yeah. You can use more... So, fighting games often have like a super bar. If you have more than one bar of super, you can do a like combined hyper combo or whatever they call it in this game. Right. Yeah. I mean, it was very cool at the time. Granted, there were two games prior, but this was like the first popular one, I feel like.
Yeah, this is the one I remember playing frequently, like in arcades, and like, you know, I don't. What year did this come out, Mike?
98.
So, you know, at that point, you know, wasn't really like a lot of arcades left, but I feel like around us, there wasn't really a lot of arcades left, but I was playing in, bands and going to shows a lot in like kind of starting in the late 90s, early 2000s, and there was one venue kind of around us that still had a pretty large arcade area. And I remember while we were, while I was like always like waiting to play my set, I would always kind of venture out there. And this is like one of the games that I would always kind of go to pass the time. And there was always a lot of people around it kind of passing the time at this arcade cabinet. And that was my introduction to this game.
I remember just being flabbergasted that Mega Man was in a fighting game. That was what drew 9-year-old me to this game.
Yeah, I think for me it was the fact that you could have a team of Mega Man and Venom together was was really wild to me.
Right.
So Chris, you were mentioning that you played this on an arcade. You had this on PS1. PS1 version doesn't have tags, so it's kind of shitty, right?
Yeah. I think
it sounds shitty to me.
I think the less said about the PlayStation version, the better. You know, it's definitely like a hollow version of this game. Yeah, when you remove like the most
does it offer anything?
It's like instead of offering the tag. Component, it's more like you can call in your ally partner for like to basically do like a quick attack and then bounce off screen. So it's almost like you either choose between having like that special, basically your quote-unquote tag partner fulfills the same role as like the guest character does, except you only choose one or the other, so you don't get a tag character and a guest character, right? Do you
really?
Yeah, so basically, but they function the same, so it definitely yes.
Do you have
the soul of the game is
limited uses of your tag partner?
Your
guest character in the arcade version, you only have like 5 uses of them.
Yeah, I don't remember. I basically just played it enough to just kind of remember the feel of the game. So, but again, it's like I played the original one so many times that you know, that's the version I think of in my head, and I think for the purposes of this discussion, like the one I'm going to focus on, not the you know, shitty PlayStation one that I bought very much after the fact, just to kind of have in my collection.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
Yeah, it does seem disappointing. The Dreamcast version, however, is like super good. It's very good. The only problem is that the Dreamcast controller is a piece of shit to me. It's probably going to draw some ire from listeners, but playing the Dreamcast controller for a fighting game, that D-pad is like miserable in particular.
Yeah, well, the triggers are what would bother me too, because it doesn't have any bumper buttons.
Right. It has like the analog triggers that are like,
right,
you have to push.
And they just seem less precise for this.
Right.
But I mean, I'm sure it was a system seller to some extent. I remember I bought a Dreamcast just to play Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Oh, really?
When I was a child and could afford it. That's what I saved up for.
Did that game come out on PS2 later?
MVC Marvel vs. Capcom 2? Yeah. That was on it's very expensive.
It was on PS2, and I mean, it's been like re-released too. It's been like, there's a digital version on 360 and PS3, I want to say.
Yeah, so that's a good point. This game did come out on Marvel vs. Capcom Clash of Superheroes. Came out on the Xbox 360 and the PS3, but they delisted it, so...
Right.
So you can't get it there anymore. I don't think you can get Marvel vs. Capcom 2 there anymore either.
The Dreamcast versions are pretty much the definitive, like, legal versions to buy at this point in 2020.
Yeah, so the PS2 version of the MVC2 came out 2 years after the Dreamcast version. So that's probably why nobody actually played that.
Right. Well, I do know, I guess... 2 is a little off topic, but there is something to the Dreamcast version has certain slowdown, I want to say, that is more akin to the arcade version.
Okay.
And so people that are, you know, top tier players, like, they expect certain slowdown at certain points.
And that makes sense,
playing
because...
on a different version, like, is different. It feels different to do combos and things like that.
And that makes sense, too, because MVC2 was built on the Naomi board, which is the same board that the Dreamcast is built from.
Right,
so, right, yeah, because wasn't this, like, essentially almost as close to perfect as an arcade port you could basically achieve at the time?
I think for MVC and MVC2, the Dreamcast versions were the definitive home versions of these games.
Right.
Very clearly for MVC1, MVC2, I think the PS2 one is much better than the PS1 version of MVC, but came out later. Not a lot of people played it. But yeah, so MVC, Marvel versus Capcom, this game was like in the middle of the Capcom, like, we are making hit after hit of arcade games, especially fighting games. So like, they had Street Fighter 2, and after that they just went ham on the fighting game genre. In 1997, they released Street Fighter 3 New Generation on the arcades. Street Fighter EX Plus came out in the arcades. Darkstalkers 3 came out in the arcades in 1997. Pocket Fighter came out. Rival Schools came out, all in 1997. Those are all Capcom fighting games. That's crazy that they put out that many fighting games in a single calendar year.
Yeah. That is kind of bananas. I mean, granted, they reused a lot of assets, but still, it's... To be able to develop and balance that many games, yeah, it's impressive.
Yeah. I mean, even the next year, they had, like, Street Fighter Alpha 3 came out in 98. Street Fighter 3 Second Impact came out in 98. What else do we have here? Like, a whole bunch. Yeah. Just, like, a whole bunch of other more. Street Fighter EX 2 came out in the arcades. So, like...
So you're
making a ton of games.
Right. I will say, though, I think, you know, so Marvel vs. Capcom was CPS2, so that it was reusing, like, the Street Fighter Alpha, like, engine or system or whatever you'd call it, whereas I think Street Fighter 3 was the first game on CPS3.
Okay, yeah.
Or it was like a new engine at that point.
Or was it built on the Naomi board? Because I think they went from CPS2 to Naomi.
No, because I think Street Fighter 3 is like one of the few games that's actually on that system.
Oh, okay.
There weren't many. Yeah, it was JoJo's Adventure. And then the Street Fighter 3 games and Red Earth are the only games that were on CPS3.
There's like an arcade machine, I don't know if it's CPS2 or CPS3, where it was essentially worked like, you know, like a Neo Geo MVS?
Yeah.
So the MVS is like, they had the big arcade units, the big red ones, where you could put in individual big giant cartridges.
Right, you could put like five or whatever.
Yeah, there's like a 3 slots and 5 slots. But Capcom made something similar with cartridges for their arcade games. But I'm not sure if it was CPS 2 or 3, but it's like super rare to find these days. Hmm. And they were like hot swappable for people who wanted to get more bang out of their bucks for their arcade machines.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I
wanted to add to the point you're making about the release dates. I think with this Marvel crossover series, the first one was Marvel versus X-Men, right? I always kind of get the first two backwards. So X-Men versus Street Fighter. There we go. There was an 8-month difference, right, I think, between X-Men versus Street Fighter, Marvel versus Street Fighter, and then I think there's only a 6-month release difference between that and Marvel versus Capcom. Like, that's like wild to me that like those first three games came out in, you know, essentially what is a year and a half.
Can tell that they're reusing a ton of assets,
and that kind of gets like to kind of ties into what we were just saying with that. And
right,
yeah, like Juggernaut, for instance, is in X-Men versus Street Fighter, and he's an assist character in Marvel versus Capcom, but it's like the same sprite.
Oh, is it? Interesting. Yeah. Is he that big in when you play as him?
Yeah, he's huge. Yeah. He's like the Hulk. He's like a big character.
I mean, Cyclops is an assist character, and he's in the other ones. Yeah, they do the same similar things.
Hmm.
But yeah, so we talked about the tag team based fighting. I will say so in the guest characters, and I think that those two things added together really make this game super frenetic in a way that none of the other games on our list are. Like, it's like just super fast paced fighting game.
Yeah.
I have kind of a naive question, I guess, for Matt, because you are the podcast fighting expert. This kind of feels like to me is like the. For me, like, I wasn't playing like a ton of fighting games back then, like when this was coming out. And I kind of feel like when I started playing this was kind of like the crossover, I kind of feel like, to me, from my experience. That seemed like this is where fighting games are kind of getting faster. Like the pace is just really picking up. And like, was this kind of where it started to change? Or was it already kind of like, because I put that in context of like, when I like played this game, the Street Fighter 2 characters that I was familiar with, I was like, oh, they don't handle like the way I remember them handling in Street Fighter 2. It's just everything's faster.
So Street Fighter games, I would say, are slower. This is of the same sort of like DNA of the other versus games we mentioned, and of like X-Men Children of the Atom and Marvel Superheroes, which are just 1v1 games. And they are, yes, much faster, but as a result, they were made a little more accessible than the Street Fighter games, because they allowed, they had like universal magic combos that like, oh, each character... you can link, you know, light, medium, heavy, or some variation of that. And then in addition to that, like, all the super moves are pretty simple, sort of like quarter circle motions with just two punches or two kicks. And I think in all the games that I mentioned, when you, like, choose your character, you're even given, like, a normal or an easy option that made the controls even more accessible if you chose easy. Mm.
What does that do? Yeah. Do you know what that does, the easy mode?
I think with easy, you don't need to do the quarter circle. If you just hit two or three punches, it does the super.
Yeah, I think it was like you double tap a punch, you know, and you'll do a fireball. Something like that.
There might be more differences. They might make the combos easier, but I know for a fact that they made the super moves easier.
Interesting.
But you're right. I mean, these are much faster games than... like Mike and I played a bunch of Marvel vs. Capcom last night, and then afterwards I played some Street Fighter 3, and it was crazy just going immediately from one to another how much slower Street Fighter 3 was.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you're right. But they did add some accessibility sort of options or features to make it a little more easy for someone to just pick up and play. Because, I mean, the characters are an accessible roster, right? Like, they appealed to non-fighting game fans.
Right. Yeah, that's, you know.
Although, you know, some of these players, so I don't know if they were specifically only thinking about the Japanese market, but Jin Satome from Cyberbot's Full Metal Madness, he is not somebody most people would know in North America. I also don't think, like, people in North America at the time knew who Captain Commando was, and I would say Strider was like, you know.
I will tell you, as someone that was 9 years old in 1998, I thought Strider was a cool ninja character. I thought Mega Man was like the coolest thing ever because I was playing a lot of Mega Man X. I liked the X-Men, and that was enough for me.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting this roster because if you look at the assist trophies in particular, right? These are the characters that are from Capcom, and I want you guys to stop me if you've heard of any of them. Okay,
they're super obscure.
Here's there is Michelle Hart, there's Devilot, Tan Po, Anita, Purin Fur, Saki, Lou, and Arthur. Now
Arthur, I know.
Well, Arthur. Yeah.
Arthur, I know, and I know, the Unknown Soldier, too. And, like, when I saw the Unknown Soldier, I was like, this is a guy from Forgotten Worlds, but I didn't know his name was the Unknown Soldier.
What is Unknown Soldier?
He's just a character in Forgotten Worlds, the arcade game.
What is Forgotten Worlds? I don't know.
It's like it's a shoot-em-up, but also kind of like a run-and-gun. It's pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool. All
right. Yeah.
Yeah, they're very obscure. They're deep cuts.
Yeah, and I mean, Michelle Hart is from Legendary Wings. He's the main protagonist, I guess, from Legendary Wings, which is an NES game.
Well, I still don't know what that is in 2020.
Yeah, Arthur is Ghouls and Ghosts, Ghosts and Goblins guy. But yeah, there's like, Saki is from Quiz Ninarino Dreams. The fuck is that game? And Lou is from Three Wonders. And like, Devilot is from Cyberbots, along with Jin Satome. But do you know what Cyberbots is?
No.
Nope.
No.
Yeah, it's a cool mech fighting game. It looks really cool. I want to play it.
I may actually know what that is, but I didn't know that he was from it.
Yeah. Weird.
I'm gonna guess Morrigan probably got the biggest crossover exposure from this game for, like, you know, I'm gonna guess a lot of people didn't probably know what the Darkstalkers the series that she's from. And I feel like it was
fairly popular.
I had no clue what it was back then. I mean, did you know what it was back then when this game was out?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
I didn't know who Morgan was. I knew what Darkstalkers were.
Yeah, I kind of feel like she kind of became the face of on the Capcom side, like, in a way, because I feel like she went on to be like in a million of these games after this.
I want to say that she, I could be wrong, but I think she's top tier in Marvel vs. Capcom 3. You're right. She's been in all of them.
She's like the only charge character in this game, too. Is she a charge character?
Well, I mean, Gambit is a charge character. Bison's in the other one.
Is Gambit a charge character?
He's got... He's like a hybrid. He's got some charge moves.
Now, Mike, did you play as Gambit at all?
I did play as Gambit.
Gambit's
pretty good.
Yeah, but
they're all cool.
Gambit's really cool, actually.
At a casual level, I think all the characters are fun.
Yeah.
Are we,
Gambit's
it's
the
funny
coolest,
how
right?
We're doing two X-Men games in, like, you know, a month. Well, sort of X-Men games. We're really giving Disney all their money's worth with the exposure. But yeah, I mean, this game's, I like this game a lot. I think that it's, I think there's a really top high end if you want to get into it and be competitive. And then if you want to go in and just fuck around with it, you're able to do that and still have some fun. You know, when you play against people who know what the fuck they're doing in this game, they will beat the fuck out of you.
Yeah.
But you can, if you're playing against people of your own skill level, you can pretty quick pick this up pretty easily.
Yeah, I think it's a fun casual game. I think, yeah, the accessibility of the move sets, like, you know, the ability for you to, like, you know, accidentally mash out combos and stuff. I think they were smart to make this game the more accessible version of, like, the Street Fighter games and stuff like that.
Yeah. And,
now,
I mean,
Chris, who was your favorite character back in the day?
Oh, Venom. I'm such a product of 90s Marvel that you slapped Venom on something, you were probably getting my money. Because, you know.
I have to say, when I was preparing for this this podcast, I was starting to main Venom because he is pretty
so
fucking
good.
Sweet in this game.
You beat me with him a couple times.
My team, I always traditionally have done teams that I would say Mega Man and Venom used to like be like my go-to team. You know, I was kind of saying to Matt earlier, it which may or may not have been off air, but like the fact that I could like put Mega Man and Venom on a team together is so wild. But also I was like that, like, and then like when Marvel versus Capcom 2 allowed you, was it, yeah, MVC 2, where you could have three people in your team, then I added War Machine to that mix. Oh, I felt like I was like unstoppable with that trio right there.
War Machine's in this game.
Yeah, but like not like, but you know, he's not gonna make the cut with Mega Man in this one, you know.
Hey, sure. do we know why War Machine was in this game and not Iron Man? Does anybody know?
I wonder. I mean, I would have to like kind of go back to see like where comic book storylines were at the time, but I do remember War Machine was kind of having like he was getting pushed quite a bit. He was getting pushed quite a bit like that mid to late 90s.
Yeah. He was like the Punisher version of Iron Man for a little while, like the badass, I have a lot of guns.
Yeah, I mean, we're hitting kind of like the...
I may be misremembering, but I feel like when I was younger, I knew who War Machine was, and I didn't know who Iron Man was.
Yeah, we're kind of hitting, like, you know, when you think mid-90s to late 90s, we're kind of hitting, like, you know, we're still in the throes of, like, the anti-hero characters are the big characters in Marvel, right? Like, it's like Venom is the big character, or War Machine's the big character, or Punisher was always kind of
Wolverine.
Floating in and out. Yeah, Wolverine is like having his surges, and it was like, you know, the good guy, the squeaky good guy characters aren't really cutting it right now. I think, you know, Clone Saga is probably going on where they're putting, you know, trying to make Spider-Man cooler by making him Scarlet Spider and putting him in a sleeveless hoodie. So it's like, you know, it's kind of where we were at the time.
Yeah. This is like it's a weird period for Marvel because like they in the early 90s they obviously had that X-Men cartoon series and they had that popularity that they rode with that and the Spider-Man stuff they had that popularity as well. I think it kind of ebbed in the late 90s, but then in the early 2000s when they came out with the movie, it was like big deal when that movie came out.
Yeah, so I mean,
like,
but I mean,
an interesting time period for Marvel.
But like with this game, right? The boss of the game is Onslaught, and Onslaught is like basically peak glut of over the top X-Men company wide crossover event, where like the Onslaught storyline was like basically a way to wipe out all like the main X-Men teams and basically rebrand them with like rebuild them with like new heroes. It's just it's like fitting that like for the time Onslaught is like the final boss in this game. Who you can play as pretty easily in the PlayStation version. That's one good thing I can say with the PlayStation version.
Onslaught's a bad guy. You know, combining the like top good guy and the top bad guy and making them into one thing. Because Onslaught is a combination of Professor X and Magneto, right?
Yeah.
Oh, whoa, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so a really it's like, bizarre storyline with time travel and all sorts of hokey 90s comic silliness.
But essentially he looks like Super Shredder and it's like super dumb.
Can you place him in the Dreamcast version like you can in the PlayStation version?
Yeah, you can unlock him.
Okay. I'll say it's like kind of fun playing as him because like if you you obviously don't get to pick a partner, but like if your first form is defeated, you get to be like that giant form final boss. form of onslaught, and you just like wipe everybody out in about 3 seconds. That was kind of fun. So there.
Did you guys know that there's other hidden characters?
Yeah, like I knew Roll was a character.
Yeah.
So there's palette swaps of Venom, which with Orange Venom, and there's like Orange Hulk, and there's Gold War Machine if you want to like if you want to cosplay Iron Man in your NBC game. There's Shadow Lady, who I don't remember. I think it's Chun-Li.
Yeah, it's Chun-Li.
Yeah. Mm. And then there's Lilith too. Who I don't know what that's a palette swap of, but yeah, Roll I think is the only character who actually gets her own sprite,
right?
A Mega Man.
Oh, Lilith is from Darkstalkers. She's like a Morrigan like alt, for lack of a better term.
Yes, that's pretty cool. I also will say one thing we haven't touched on: the stage design. It's hard to look at the stage design in this game because there's so much fucking happening on the screen at one time. But the actual, if you take a look at the background, the stage designs are really cool. There's one stage that has like the animation from E Honda's stage on a billboard in the background.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. There's Mega Man stage has Dr. Wily running around with like evil robots in the background.
Yeah,
there's the bathhouse. There's like all these weird like space ones. Yeah, I mean, in general, from top to bottom, like the art in this game is super good, and the presentation.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of it in comparison to like Guru, which is also on our list. Like Guru is quality for sure, but this just seems like it's at a higher tier, at least artistically. You know, and I'm sure it cost, you know, there was a financial cost to making it so, but you can tell even today that it's like a beautiful game.
Yeah, it holds up. I mean,
it holds up for sure.
The sprite work, the portraits when you are going into games, they even look great. Like, they spared no detail in this game. And I will say, too, you know, Guru came out a year after this game.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty wild. What else do we want to talk about in terms of the gameplay or this game in general?
I liked that, you know, I appreciate that the assist characters were random, at least for, you know, casual play. There is a way to choose your assist character. If you have a specific one you want, there's certain button combinations you can do to choose them.
Right.
I like that they are limited use, which is interesting.
Yeah, and is it dependent upon the character how many times you can hit it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's like there's super OP ones, like Juggernaut and Colossus are pretty OP.
Yeah, Juggernaut, Colossus, and Psylocke, I think, are the three kind of like best.
Yeah. Juggernaut especially, because he's just
Juggernaut,
such a...
Juggernaut, yeah. But I think you can only use him three times, okay. I want to say.
Does anybody
so
like Colossus?
There was a balance to that, which...
Yeah, I like Colossus.
Oh.
I've always liked Colossus.
You like Colossus, just... but you don't like Gambit.
Mikhail Rasputin? He's my dude. I've always empathized with Colossus for some reason.
Because nobody else likes him?
What's his deal? He just turns metal?
Yeah, he turns into metal. Well, his skin turns into metal.
Yeah. Not as cool as energizing playing cards.
I think I felt bad for him in that when we were talking about the Genesis game, they had that run with the where his sister died, and then he got mad and he went to go work with Magneto, and then he turned bad and then he turned good and he tried to turn the bad guys good. And I like that storyline. But yeah, he never gets good lead time. When he was in Deadpool, I was like, fuck yes, Colossus!
It was great when like Deadpool is like, why are you the only one here?
Is he a good guy in Deadpool?
Yeah.
Yeah, Colossus, yeah.
He's
yeah,
like
he's
the only
like,
X-Men.
He's
at
like
the
uber good guy. Yeah.
Is Cable in the second one? I didn't see the second one.
Yeah, Cable's in the second one. And spoiler. Can I do a spoiler? All right.
I don't
care. Fast forward 30 seconds if you don't want a spoiler for Deadpool 2, a movie that came out like 3 years ago. Juggernaut's in it as well.
Oh. All I remember from Juggernaut is in the X-Men movies when he appears and he says, "I'm the Juggernaut, bitch."
That was a really bad Juggernaut. The one that's in Deadpool 2 was pretty okay.
He was better? I liked that Juggernaut.
Really? It was.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. He like jumps through the walls and stuff, does Juggernaut shit. Chases Ellen Page or whatever her name is.
Oh shit, I forgot she's in that movie.
Yeah, she's Kitty Pryde, right?
Also that third movie is really bad. There's like massive continuity errors in that game. In that movie. There's a scene where it's broad daylight and then the next cut it's nighttime.
Yeah, the bridge scene. It's really... The bridge scene towards the end.
Yeah.
I just like that they found a way to reference like the beginnings of like YouTube viral videos back then with the Juggernaut. It's just so, just so forced. I remember like laughing when I saw that in the theater, but also going, I can't believe like that's now in this movie.
So do we want to talk about where this game ranks? I think we've talked about this game enough.
Yeah, we have.
Game is good.
Game is good. I like it a lot. And so we have, our list, this is our 92nd entry into the endless list. Currently goes from Super Mario 64 all the way down to Jurassic Park Trespasser. As we mentioned, this is our 7th fighting game. I think it's our like 4th like standard 2D
fighter. Real fighting game?
5th 2D fighting game. But yeah, I mean, I think this game is our number one fighting game. I think it goes ahead of Guru.
Mortal Kombat, according to this list, is above Guru. So.
Oh, shit, yeah.
That's something that needs to be fixed in the future.
This game goes above Mortal Kombat for me.
Me as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Let's just start at Mortal Kombat. Why don't we do that? Mortal Kombat's 31.
Yeah.
Game's a better game for me than Streets of Rage at 30.
I would agree.
Yes, agreed.
I start hesitating when we get to Dead Space, Arkham Asylum, Dishonored.
Not I have no hesitation.
Fuck Dead Space.
All right, so we can put it. You guys are suggesting Dishonored.
It's at least better than Dishonored, which is 27.
Okay. I mean, you guys seem like you are. You guys have momentum behind you. You guys got the wind in your sails.
All right.
You're ready to push this up.
You want to do this quick?
No, I don't want to do this quick. I just want to know where. Okay, so we're.
I will agree this is better than Oregon Trail. Now, said that this is better than Oregon Trail, but I'm preemptively agreeing with Matt that this is better than Oregon Trail.
It's Oregon. People in the West Coast are going to be upset.
I think I first said Oregon. Like, so I'm trying to appease everybody here.
Guys, this edible is kicking in. Like, whoa.
Oregon Trail, let's not even acknowledge its presence at 26. It's a better game than that. I think it's also better than Papers, Please, a game I like a lot, but it's just better.
I would put it above Castlevania. It seems like I think Castlevania is important. I think this game is also important. I think this game's artwork is incredible. I think this game, the fighting is easily accessible, but also deep. And I think it's just a really good game. I would put this game above Castlevania. I would also put it above No Mercy. Probably put it above Hotline Miami as well.
See, I was going to make a case for No Mercy that I think, while Marvel vs. Capcom is a lot of fun, I guess, you know, if you don't like wrestling games, then... Well, I would say with No Mercy, even if you don't like wrestling games, I think you could play No Mercy today, like with a group of friends, and I think you would have like a lot more fun maybe than playing Marvel vs. Capcom. But I think if we're talking like Marvel vs. Capcom 2 versus No Mercy, I think it's a little bit different. I think No Mercy is to the wrestling genre kind of what Marvel vs. Capcom is to the fighting genre, and I think what you're going to have a better time with is probably going to come down more to like personal preference, you know. To me, I guess I would have more. I enjoy both these games a lot. But I think of ladder matches and breaking the tables and throwing weapons at other people and no mercy and going, that's a lot of fun. And whereas, like, you know, every one knock against Marvel vs. Capcom is that I kind of feel like every character kind of handles kind of samey to some degree. Obviously, Hulk handles a lot different than Mega Man, but I think you got a lot of, I don't know. It's sometimes, like, when I was playing through it for this pod, like, it wasn't, like, I didn't feel like every character was as different as they could be from each other, you know?
Can I just say something here for a second? We're comparing this, so you're saying this about WWF No Mercy, right?
Yes.
So you're comparing these two, right, with where we're holding them, and you're saying that you think that on Marvel versus Capcom, the characters aren't necessarily that different how they play.
All the characters control the same in wrestling games?
They control the same, but they definitely have. There's definitely a lot of differences in their moveset and their strikes. I think the difference between strikes and some of the grapple holds. The different movesets the characters have in No Mercy make them more varied, but it's also the match types that I think make it more varied. You know, like, I don't know. I'm just making a case. Ladder matches in No Mercy are one of the greatest things you're ever going to do in video games with your friends. So, you know, I've made my case.
Except play Marvel versus Capcom.
I've made my case. If it wasn't convincing, and we are moving on, I would. I still have games that I would put Marvel versus Capcom above Beyond No Mercy. I had to do my job to make a pitch for No Mercy, though.
So let me add, here's my other point. So No Mercy came out in 2000. This game came out in 1998. I feel like if this game came out today and was released, people would play a lot of it.
Yeah, people would lose their minds.
Right. And I think it's held up so well.
I think both of these games do. That's why everyone always wants, like, everyone just says, oh, why can't 2K just give us, like, a new No Mercy? But, you know, it's the same. It's the same.
But they want a new No Mercy.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, but I think people, they could just re-release this. That, you know.
And
successful.
And, like, you think that. You think that WWF No Mercy, like, that people want a new one. But, like, the kids who didn't have No Mercy, if they go back and try to play No Mercy, I don't think they're going to get as much enjoyment out of it as they would if they went back and played Marvel versus Capcom.
Well, the kids today are stupid because they're buying those 2K WWE games.
Kids today are wrong.
So they should get their shit together and go back and play No Mercy and stop buying that 2K. Stop enabling kids. Don't enable
they have no
2K
other option.
To make more shitty WWE games.
What do they get if they don't get 2K? All they can
Fire
get
Pro
is
Wrestling.
Fire Pro.
Learn a good game. Get Fire Pro.
I mean,
I'm shaking my fist at the young kids.
Listen, I think No Mercy has a lot to offer outside of the moment-to-moment gameplay, right?
They've got
the create a wrestler. They've got, like, the campaign, the create a campaign or create a story or whatever it
giant
is.
Giant Coors
right?
Light.
There's, like, all this
blood.
Peripheral cool stuff.
Yeah.
That's the big difference.
I failed to convince you guys on No Mercy. I'm good to keep moving. You
Chris,
know, I
just
state my case.
So I'm going to use your argument against you for a second because I know Matt does not like the historical argument, but I would make the case that Marvel vs. Capcom is a more important game historically than No Mercy. No Mercy's kind of a dead end in that development, aside from the Def Jam games, the Vendetta and the ones that AKI went on to make. But Marvel vs. Capcom is now a series.
It's huge.
Yes. And also, I would say that this art style and this era of Capcom is very much an inspiration for, like, the anime fighting games that you see now. It's kind of like those
yeah,
are the evolution
that's,
on this.
That's like the legacy of No Mercy and that engine and what happens to it after No Mercy and how it impacts future games, I think, is like really like a whole separate podcast into itself. But no, I hear what you're saying.
So No Mercy is 23.
Yeah, I think yes. What, so I'm, getting at, what no I'm getting at is that we can move past the No Mercy discussion.
I think this is above No Mercy.
Does this go above Hotline Miami?
For me personally, yes.
For me, yeah.
I love Hotline Miami, but I just think there's a depth. I mean, it's hard to compare a fighting game to a top-down like puzzle shooter, but
that's why we're here. Matt.
I think there's just a depth to this game, and the fact that it holds up so well, and it's just like. It's better than it's better than Street Fighter V, that's for sure. I'm sure people would disagree that it's better than Street Fighter IV, which is fair. But the point just being that, you know, you compare it to contemporary games, and I think it Marvel vs. Capcom 1, not even 2, but 1 compares favorably to current fighting games. Which I think shows how good a quality it is. You know, comparing it to Hotline Miami, you know, Hotline Miami, there's not much depth. You play it, you know, you could play it once, maybe go through it a second time. I just think that there's just so much replayability of this game when we're trying to compare it directly to Hotline Miami. The music in both are good. The music's probably better in Hotline Miami. Visual style, I think, is better in Marvel vs. Capcom, which is saying something, because the visual style of Hotline Miami is very good. I just think, you know, ultimately, this game is better.
Yeah, I haven't played a bunch of Hotline Miami, but I haven't played a bunch of it because I didn't have as much fun playing it as I did Marvel vs. Capcom, so I guess that's my view.
I would play more Marvel vs. Capcom right this second, and I don't even have Hotline Miami installed right now.
Yeah.
So, and I love that game.
How far up do we want to go with this?
Right.
I don't I don't think that this game is better than Tecmo Super Bowl for me.
I was gonna say Final Fantasy VII at 16. It's not. It can't go above that.
I don't think it's better than Tecmo Super Bowl though. For example, that game's like one of the best sports games of all time.
So that's 18.
Yeah.
So are we already assuming it's better than Contra and Final Fantasy VI?
I am, and
Star Wars TIE Fighter?
TIE Fighter.
Yeah, I think TIE Fighter's a really great game, but it's a niche game. I don't think it has the appeal, and I don't think it has as much of a legacy as MVC.
Yeah, and
it's been
a little
while since I've played it, but does it hold up as well, even TIE Fighter?
Oh, it does not hold up as well. it holds up pretty well, but there's like a timelessness to this game, to Marvel vs. Capcom, that you can just hop on and play it, and it feels really good.
Yeah, I think I was the one that recommended playing TIE Fighter when we did it, and I love that game. But if you told me I had to play TIE Fighter or Marvel vs. Capcom, I would think for a moment and go, I'm gonna have to do a lot of thinking and a lot of just too much work is gonna go into me playing TIE Fighter. So I think I would much rather have some kind of pick up quick and have some fun with Marvel vs. Capcom. So
what's the SparkNotes version of why Tecmo Super Bowl is better than Marvel vs. Capcom?
Similarly, I can pick up and play that game and enjoy it as much as Marvel vs. Capcom. I would say also that it's a very well designed game. I don't think it necessarily from the argument that we had with WWF No Mercy that I laid out, I don't think if a youngster picked up MVC versus Tecmo Super Bowl, they'd rather go with MVC. So maybe that's an argument against my...
Really? You don't think they'd rather play with Spider-Man and the Hulk than Bo Jackson?
No, that's what I'm saying. I think they would rather
Venom.
So...
Yeah, you know, this list isn't. Yeah, we're not based in our
because I think this game. I think kids. Metroid is above Tecmo, and I think this game is better than Metroid.
I think this game plays better than Metroid. I don't think it's as important as Metroid, but.
Yeah,
I would rather play MVC.
Its importance is based on how much you like Super Metroid, I feel like.
Right.
I think Tecmo Super Bowl is to kind of like to football games, like what Marvel versus Capcom is to fighting games, right? It's like, it's kind of arcadey, fast paced, at least for the time, for what it was. Gameplay that still kind of holds up is really fun because it's accessible to me. Like, you don't have to be an expert at Tecmo Super Bowl to have a good time playing it. And, you know, I kind of, they're both two games you can pick up and play for a short period of time. Feel like the man when you pull off some sweet looking plays in Tecmo Super Bowl because it's not too hard to do, but also still have a rewarding challenge. I don't know. I think they're kind of
right. It's like it's an early arcade football game. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It's like not going for the sim. It's just like a pick up and play, you versus your friend on the couch football game.
Yeah, I would say it's as much of a sim as it was back then at the time period.
That's fair. Right.
So. I don't know. It's up to you guys. The way I see it is it either goes at 19 or it goes at 17. That's because I think if this game goes above Tecmo Super Bowl, I'm not going to put Metroid above it. But it's up to you guys. Thus, the perils of the list.
So I think, I mean, you know,
we're walking the tightrope.
I would put it right below Final Fantasy VII, which is right above Metroid. So. Chris, you can chime in, but is the compromise we put it between Metroid and Tecmo?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean,
yeah, because like I said, to me, I think Marvel vs. Capcom and Tecmo Super Bowl, I think are, you know, I think they're essentially kind of the same thing for their genres, right? And it's like they're basically like a tie game, and I think it's kind of fun sports or fighting game. You know, like
these are
like the games I'd probably recommend to people in those genres. So being above or below to me is the same because I think they're of equal fun.
I just know that if you put an NES in front of me with Tecmo Super Bowl and a Dreamcast in front of me with Marvel vs. Capcom, I'm going to choose Marvel vs. Capcom 100 times out of 100.
Well,
personally.
Yeah, well, you're a fighting game guy. For me, myself... Like, looking at this, growing up, I didn't have Tecmo Super Bowl. I've enjoyed it since I've been
an adult. Nor did I.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it since I was an adult. And I was never really a big fighting game fan until, like, the last few years when we started playing them more. So I don't really have a lot of nostalgia for either of these games. And, like, just looking at it, to be honest with myself and everybody, I feel like I would probably enjoy these equally. If I was just picking them up, if I was just playing by myself, I'd probably rather play MVC. So.
Well, let's put it at 18. That's what I say.
All right. We have a new number 18 on our endless list, our 92nd entry, our new top fighting game. It is Marvel versus
Capcom. Mortal Kombat.
Always exciting when a game cracks the top 20.
Is it?
It's
yeah.
It's exciting for me.
We have so many games that I feel like we rank them like we're always talking about like, well, like, you know, this game is like number 71 and this game's number like 72. Where does it go? But when you get into the top 20, I feel like we're talking about some heavy hitter games.
Can you believe this game? Can you believe this game is better than Oregon Trail?
Stop hating on our placement of Oregon Trail. Would you please?
Can you believe it? It's kind of crazy.
I think that Oregon Trail is a fine game.
In third grade, it was great.
I loved it.
You know, opinions but after the fact don't count in this list. So,
hey, yeah, Matt. Any opinion after the fact are like assholes. Everybody's got one. Is that where the phrase?
I have a lot of them.
Yeah, I do too. They grow on me. Mm. So, like fungi.
Like more assholes.
But yes.
Congrats, Capcom,
on being the number one fighting game company in the 1990s.
Is this the best Capcom game? Let's see if that holds up. Because we got a lot of Capcom games. Oh no! Resident Evil.
Mega Man 2's above it, too.
Oh, that's true.
So. Cool. There you are. So this has been an episode of It's So Bad, the podcast where we rank everything. You can follow us on the Twitter. It's at It's So Bad Pod. You can email us itssobadpod@gmail.com. We really want to know why you dislike our list. Just send it to us. Send us emails. We like that. We also like your suggestions. We might get to them, but it's just going to take like 6 months, but we'll do it. But thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
All right. See you guys next week.